Well, to begin with, Julie, thank you so much. I love your teaching, and I love the way you hold forth the word. You are so bold, and what you did was absolutely revolutionary. Thank you. And I would like to teach something that I can't get off my mind and off my heart. So hopefully you guys have the time. I'm not going to spend like hours, but I've got a few things I want to say. There's a traitor in the midst, and we find out about this traitor in Romans chapter 6. There's a traitor in the midst. There's weeds in the field. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. These are shoulds. These are fantastic opportunities to Christianity. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be. Again, more shalls, also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, after having laid such fantastic groundwork, after exposing mankind to the beauty of the resurrection, we must know that our old man is crucified with Christ. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed. Even after Christ's accomplishments, we find note of this needed destruction, this ongoing thwart, this traitor in the midst, the weeds in the field, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we're told of an ongoing possibility of service to sin. We're told that a situation could exist, that a traitor could end up in the midst, that there could be weeds in the field. And then verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. We're given the ultimate judgment that the old man is dead and that we are freed no matter what we go through in this life. Colossians chapter 3 speaks more about this traitor and his dirty deeds. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. This is a broadcast to Christianity of the reality of the resurrection. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If this is really true, this is what really should be happening. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And we shall hear the message that as Christians, we are to leave the earth behind. Verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Again, death, contrasted against the resurrection. Verse 4, when Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We see great mention of hope, and what follows the resurrection, what naturally occurs because of such an expose to life far greater than this world had ever seen. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. I find that phrase interesting. It's the Greek word pathos. It just means ways of man. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Thank God, not you, ever, 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 throughout all of eternity, ever, throughout all of time, in the which ye also walked some time, not in God's wrath, but in disobedience, when ye lived in them, and you did. And this is the dilemma that every Christian experiences, the previous lifestyle. Nothing but chains around the neck. 8. But now we also put off all these: anger, wrath. And you're probably wondering by now, how am I ever going to tie any of this into agape? Oh, I will. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. So I'll give you a rendition in that verse, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath is thumos, malice is evil, kakos, blasphemy is blasphemy, it's a Greek word, blasphemy, filthy communication, filthy words out of your mouth, filthy, rotten words, not God's word. Verse 9, lie not one to another. My rendition, speak the truth. Seeing that ye have put off the old man, there he is with his deeds. He's a dirty old man. He's a traitor, and he lives inside you. And he thwarts you. He tries to attack you. He comes against your every desire to walk according to God's word. He's a traitor. He's a dirty old man that does dirty old deeds. He's like dirty old weeds in the field. He's there, and you have to deal with him. The day that you recognize his presence and you clearly look upon him will be the day you master him. If you choose to never recognize him, you've already chosen to never master him. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we're given the power of the resurrection once again, the new man, renewed in knowledge after a beautiful image. Yes, you can lay your eyes on that old man, just like one day we're going to lay our eyes on that old serpent, the devil, as it talks about in Ezekiel. Oh, we're going to go, that's what he looked like? Oh my gosh! So you can look upon the old man, and I ask you to look upon that death and to recognize that it is a dead man in you. Oh, I know you must believe me. I know you've heard words before. Well, you need to take your Bibles. Hold on, I've got to pull it up. And turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in verse 22, we read, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." So we learn of an inward man, the presence of something inside. Oh, you can't say this doesn't exist. You're not allowed to, not before God, maybe before man. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this dead body?" That's what it means. Who shall deliver me from this dead body? That causes verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." And we're told why in verse 20, "For if I do that," now if I do that, "I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Well, verse 25 gives the end of the matter. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So there is a man inside. There is a traitor inside. It's death. It's something that makes you cry aloud. "Oh, who shall ever deliver me from this dead body? Who shall deliver me from this traitor, this old man, this dirty deeded thing, these weeds in the field?" Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 tells us, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation." That's a previous way of life, a previous behavior. The old man, the traitor, the weeds in the midst, the dirty old deeded man, "which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Oh, it's just bad 1,000 times toward Sunday. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So who is this old man? Verse 22 said, "that ye put off concerning," this thing that stands against you. The word "concerning" comes from the Greek word kata. Some of you may be familiar with it. It stands against you. The former conversation, previous behavior, is what stands against you. It stands against you through that. It's a reminder of the past. It's repetition. It's habit. It's things that come up when you least expect them and definitely don't want them. So this old man is a worn out man. That's what it means, the old man. He's worn out, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. But don't for a second think that he's not there. Oh, he's there. And you're going to have to deal with him until Jesus Christ returns for you. So we have ways to do that. Paul cried out as he wrote Romans, "Oh, who shall deliver me from this dead body?" Well, there is deliverance, even though it will still exist within you. So fantastic. Ephesians 4:25, "Wherefore putting away lying." So we're learning, who is this old man? "Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. He's behind the old man. Don't think he's not. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. This is talking about the gift of Holy Spirit. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. We're discussing how to, number one, who is this old man, but how to deal with him. Wouldn't you love to know how to deal with that old man? Wouldn't it change your life if that old man had a different place in your heart and soul? Wouldn't it change you to no longer serve the old man, but you put him in his place and he doesn't come back? Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I ask you, based on what you know these verses. You've read them so many times before. Who is this traitor? He's a liar. He won't speak the truth, and he certainly won't rejoice in the truth. He's angry. He's enraged and exasperated, and he sins therein. He's full of raging wrath. He yields where he's occupying, the space that he's occupying, to the devil. Wherever he is, he bows down to Satan. That's the old man. He serves the devil. He is a thief, a kleptomaniac. He won't work extensively, meaning he doesn't become wearied in work. He doesn't commit himself to toiling. Good things, anything good with his hands, nothing. This is why the Ephesians message about somebody working to have to give to him that needeth is so important, because the old man won't lift a finger. He won't impart to the needy. His mouth discharges rotten words, evil fruit, akin to the wicked that shall be severed by the angels from among the just at that great day. His words cannot edify. And you're learning now that if you look to the old man, habits, reasonings, lust, feelings, actions, desires, deeds. If you look for truth, you'll never find it. If you look for peace, you'll never find it. If you look for calmness, you'll never find it. If you look for giving, you'll never find it. If you look for space to rest your head, you'll never find it, because the devil lays there. If you look for service to God, you'll never find it, because it serves the devil. If you look for someone who's not a kleptomaniac, you'll never find it. Maybe he won't steal today, you say. But the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. We do not want that traitor, that thief, alive inside of us. If you want somebody to work, you'll not find it in him. If you rely on him, you won't work. If you want to give, you won't find it in him. He takes, he steals, he doesn't give to the needy. If you want truthful words, kind words, profitable words, you won't find them in him. If you lean his way, the only thing you're going to hear is rottenness to the core, evil fruit, evil fruit. And like I said, akin to the wicked that shall be severed by the angels at that great day. That's how deadly and disastrous that old man is. There is no edification possible from him. If you lean toward him for a feel good, for hope that maybe you'll get built up, and not talk down, you'll never find it in that old man. You must recognize that that old man exists and that you never give him place. If you see him coming, you stand up and say, go! Don't you dare talk to me. Don't you dare try your thing. His words have no grace. He can't give grace, undeserved favor, but God can. Your life is filled with grace, God's grace, but not the old man's grace. Maybe you live within old habits, old feelings, old deeds, old actions. And maybe you think that you do get a little grace here and there. I'm telling you, it's a counterfeit. There is no grace but from God himself. He grieves the Holy Spirit of God. That means he saddens this gift. This gift cries tears in his presence. The same gift that exalts us on the day of redemption cries, weeps, sobs, tears before the throne of God. This gift of Holy Spirit has privately marked us. And the old man, the traitor, the dirty-deeded man, the weeds in the field, can never undo that private mark. That's what grieves means. That's so amazing. I'm sorry, that's what seal means, not grieves. Grieves means saddens. This old man is bitter. It means he's poisonous. Everything about him, his smells, his sounds, his skin, his looks, his countenance, his thoughts, his actions, his services, his dedications, everything about him is poisonous, as is the devil. There's nothing good of the devil. There's nothing good of Satan. Nothing. Nothing, not one thought, not one smell, not one action, not one leaning. He's full of wrath, which you should know from agape, macrothumia, thumos. It's like a beating passion, a hard beating of passion. And we know that as agape-filled believers, we are to be macrothumia-minded. We stay as far from wrath as we possibly can. We run from it. We have no part in it because it embodies the old man and his poison. So I must introduce you to something before I continue this list. This list is to me overwhelming almost. But when you're dealing with your old man and you're dealing with somebody else's old man, you have war. And what you don't want to do is engage with somebody else's old man. If you're fighting with somebody, if you argue with somebody, if your souls are riled in each other's presence, it's because the old man of one is facing the old woman, let's say, of another, or the old man of another, or the old woman of another faces the old woman of another. But nonetheless, when the old entities such as these two face off, they have nothing but war. And so you can recognize that and say, old man, no more. Old woman, no more. I give you no place in my life. I stand free in Christ, and nothing shall embody me. Nothing shall contain me. I am my master through my Lord Jesus Christ. I defy everything of this traitor, of this dirty-deeded old thing, this dead man, these weeds in the field. I defy it with everything that I have. My hand rests in God's hand, and nothing shall contain me save the very redemption of Jesus Christ, which one day will be made alive in my body. Until then, I shall not impart sadness to the gift of my God, the gift of Holy Spirit. I shall not grieve him. I shall shun all forms of evil, and I shall cleave like glue to the good that resides in me. I shall serve the law of Christ. I shall not clamor. I shall not be filled with terribly sad crying, clamor. I shall not be angry. I shall not violently rage because this old man whispers in my ear and pushes me past my points of no return. They shall never again take place. I shall not cry with sadness. The same sadness that one day my God shall take away. When he wipes the tears, there shall be no more crying. It shall never happen again. This old man speaks with vilification. He's blasphemous. There are no good words out of him. Nothing. Never. Not one. Not even a fake one. It doesn't exist. He can't do it. You can't lean on him and hope for good. You can't lean on him and hope for truth. You can't lean on him and hope for soundness of mind. It will never happen. You must reject him at all costs. You must recognize that he lives, that he exists. Oh, he lives in a dead way, like a zombie, but he's there, and he functions, and he has his deeds that he's compelled to do. The Bible already told us that. This old man cannot be tenderhearted, which means he has no sympathy. If you're looking for a feel-good, you went to the wrong place. It will never happen. This old man grants no favors, and he takes no prisoners. That means he's not forgiving. There is nothing forgiving about him. He utterly denies Christ's forgiveness. We totally embrace Christ's forgiveness. Your sins have been forgiven. You are good. You are not bad. There is no bad in you because of Christ in you. You have reminders of a past life, but you have a way to master those old things so that they never take charge again. God has granted you favor. You are embodied by his grace, and he has freed you. There's no need to be taken prisoner again. There's no caretaker in the world on Satan's side who could take you prisoner and provide for you so that you feel cared for, so that you feel sufficient in God's grace. It cannot happen. The old man is evil through and through, but we, as Christ-filled believers, choose to think no evil. That is an agape characteristic. The old man is not kind, and kind means useful, Christos. By any means employed, he has no usefulness, none. He has no use. He's a void, he's a vapor, he's a waste of everything there ever was and ever will be. He is not useful, and he is not tender or forgiving. He refuses to forgive others. Galatians chapter 5, we've just learned who is that traitor. This is the traitor that thwarts your walk, that ruins your day, that disturbs your friendships and hurts your marriages. It hurts everything about you if you ever let it reign. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. The traitor is fallen from grace, but not you. You are a son of God. You are righteous. You are a super Christian conqueror, and you stand on top of the highest pinnacle in this world. You couldn't get any closer to heaven physically if you tried. And that's the same place where God would come down with the other angels and have those great council meetings that we learned about. You are not subdued. You are exalted because of Christ in you. You're justified. There are people who fall from grace, and I tell you, the old man was at the front of the line. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now we're finding what we really need in order to master our greatest personification of Satan, a personal enemy. Now we're talking. Now we're starting to see. It's cracking open when we read faith, which worketh by love. That's that four-letter word. That's faith and agape. If you ever want to get on top of justification and any entity that has ever fallen from grace, you have to have faith and agape. Faith and agape are enablers to allow you to ride upon the great rails of the supernatural life through Jesus Christ. Verse 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Oh, we're talking about being hindered. How many times have you ever been hindered by the old man, by the dirty-deeded old man? How many times have you been hindered by the weeds in the field that you should not obey truth? How many times have you ever not obeyed truth? That is a hindrance, and that is a perfect example of being plagued by the old man, the traitor. Verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It will never come from God. Oh, I know, you've probably twisted things. And God, if this is really you, let it happen again. Oh my gosh. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. The old man, yep, he's included in that list. Could you allow that? Please do. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know, and this is within your core system of beliefs. There's nobody that could ever remove this. Charity never faileth. Verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Charity never faileth. Oh, prophecies will, tongues will, knowledge will, but charity, that's agape. This way of life, this emboldened stance upon the right way to live and move and act and be as sons of God in a dark and perverse world, it will never fail. That's why faith, pistis and agape, enable you to subdue the old man. You must walk according to faith. You must put on the characteristics of agape. No matter how hard it is, and it's not hard, who shall deliver me from this dead body? Oh, well, God did. You got born again. You've been raised from the dead spiritually, and you are seated in the heavenly spiritually. It's only a matter of time before you cross that gap. The old man has already been judged, whoever he is. The old man fell from grace. Well, life without Christ, without agape, is a life fallen from grace. In Jesus Christ, faith, which worketh by agape, is this world's only avail. We're not given any other solution. Find them. I read it to you in verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. You couldn't do any worldly work to achieve the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, no matter how hard you tried. But if you live faith according to agape, you did run well. You did run well. You're not going to be hindered. You're not going to be hindered. You're not going to be hindered. Praise God for that. Agape never fails. Agape never allows you to fall from grace. Ephesians chapter 1. We are to be rooted and grounded in agape. So this is how we get back to agape when talking about the traitor. Can you believe it? Can you believe that this actually came up? Can you believe you're being exposed to something? Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. I cannot wait to tell you what I want to tell you. This whole thing builds into, oh my gosh, such key points of agape. It's just amazing how this works. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Rooted and grounded in agape, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. You know, when you stand down that old man, you stand up without blame. Have you ever wondered when you'd ever get to that place in your life? Well, here it is. Walk through the door with me. Here, take my hand. Let's go together. You are holy. You are without blame. You stand that man down. Don't let him talk to you again. Don't fall for any more of his lies, his deceit. You stand him down and recognize that he never stops. He will come at you until the day Jesus Christ comes back. And you need to learn how to slap him silly. But we don't war after the flesh. That's why you just put him in his place. You just put him in his place. And when you stand him down, you stand up without blame in agape. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Oh, I know. You want more practical. I know that. I know you want more practical, and I'm going to give it to you. But I gotta start the gap, you know? I gotta make a little cut here and then start opening it up, and then it's going to come. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Yes. Yes, I asked for that. That ye, being rooted and grounded in agape, not in anything else, nothing else, not in your religions, not in your old ways, not in your old thoughts, definitely not in a traitor's ways, and not in dirty old deeds, not in weeds, no, in agape. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints. We do this together, folks. You and me and me and you and you and me again and again and again. All saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height? Oh, it's vast. But you can't measure it. I taught you that not too long ago. And to know agape of Christ, we are to know how Jesus Christ lived according to agape. This is like a huge marker. It's a brand. It's like a brand. It doesn't go away. You can't remove it. It keeps people from stealing what was branded. When it's branded, you can't just go steal it and say, oh, that brand doesn't exist. Nope. Nope. Jesus Christ was branded with his lifestyle, and so are we. It says we're sealed. It's a private mark. Private mark means we live according to agape, and nobody can fake that. They can't pretend that they're doing it too. You have to do it on your own. Jesus Christ did, and to know the agape of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Oh, wow. This takes it into a totally different plane. You know, you thought maybe how smart you are, that's really where it's at. You got to just keep learning more. No, 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 no. It's talking about knowing the agape of Christ. Knowing it. What did he do? It's way beyond knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what's waiting on the other side. You're going to be tanked up, baby. You're going to be filled up with something that you don't even know what it is yet. But you got to recognize that old man dead. You got to have a starting place. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope this is exciting you as much as it excites me. It's revolutionary. You cannot be the same person after you hear this. You just can't. You cannot go back to your old ways. Once you hear truth, you can't undo it. It's just not possible. That's why you're so thrilled to hear more. Because you know you get more to hold on to that people can't take away. Or Satan, he can't take it away either. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Okay. We already know that we don't deal, according to Romans, we don't deal with the old man, that dead body, with warring of the flesh. We already know that. So it's being said again. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Did you ever think that this section applied to how to deal with the old man? Well, if before this fellowship, if you didn't believe that the old man really exists, you just thought it was like words on a page, thoughts. Maybe if I think about it, I'll understand what the Bible's even talking about. If that's all you ever thought about the old man, that's why these things don't make sense, and that's why maybe you didn't think that strongholds have so much to do with this. But now let's shift that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I love that word pulling. Wow, it's just amazing. It just tears it down. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Isn't it almost impossible to embrace the fact that there's an old traitor, a dirty-deeded old man, a dirty-deeded old woman in your life that keeps trying to do this to you, that fills you with weird, or tries to fill you with weird imaginations and high things that obviously aren't godly and certainly have nothing to do with the Bible? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Personify this. Recognize that it's talking about what the old man does and what you can do against the old man. Certainly, to stand with God through Jesus Christ. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow. It says we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. But it also says that there's exalting and knowledge and captivity and thoughts and obedience involved. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Where are you? Where are you? Do you believe this old man exists? Are you ready to revenge all disobedience against yourself? Are you ready to take a stand once and for all and say, no more? It's over. Whatever it was, it's gone. I have nothing to do with it anymore. Little, big, in the middle, doesn't matter. Make a choice and stand by your side. Stand by your side. You know, you want people to stand by your side to help strengthen you. How about you stand by your side for a minute and be in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled? That would be bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you got to have the word. You got to be thinking the word. And then you start this process. So there are weapons against the strongholds. Strategically and amazingly, we have been provided with agape characteristics. Oh, they're just so amazing. That are designed to thwart and subdue the old man. I've got several different ones listed here. There's four that stood out. I couldn't find any more. And the first one is no lying. Now, we've already read these in Ephesians chapter 4, so I'm just summarizing. No lying. The old man is a liar. He won't speak the truth. But according to agape, we rejoice in the truth. Do you see it? This one particular characteristic stands out when dealing with the old man. No lying. Why? Because we rejoice in the truth. The second one, no wrath. How many of you have a wrath problem? You don't have to answer. But you get mad. You always wonder, when am I going to stop being so angry? You know? Well, here you go. No wrath. And that wrath is the word thumos. There's other words for wrath. But this one is thumos. It specifically relates to macrothumia, long-suffering in agape. And the Bible says that we suffer long macrothumia, or long macrothumia, which means we push it as far away. And the analogy was the forgiving father, the prodigal son. Remember when the father saw the son on the hill coming his way? He saw him a long way off, a far way off. And he immediately erupted into tears and started running, shouting, "Prepare the calf!" And he ran to his son on the hill. He ran and he ran and he ran. If you ever, ever deal with wrath, then I want you to turn around and run with tears into God's open arms. You run as far away as you can. No wrath. The third one is no evil thoughts. And we say that because agape says that we think no evil. We don't think evil. We just don't think evil. And the fourth one really comes to bear, I suppose, if you don't have a mind to work. No uselessness. We stay useful for the move of God's word. We stay useful in every way. That's the word kind. You know where it says agape is kind or charity is kind? In 1 Corinthians 13, the word kind doesn't mean kind at all. It means useful. That's the one word that started me on that entire agape study. I couldn't say what kind meant. I didn't know, and I never met anybody else that could either. It means useful. Agape is useful, and it's talking about beneficial to the move of God's word, and we are to stay that way. Well, the old man's going to talk you out of it. He don't want you to be useful at all. So we've learned how to leave the traitor behind through some really great keys, not only those agape keys, but also that our walk is to pass knowledge. We don't look around for knowledge all the time in hopes that we can figure out how to deal with the old man. We pass it, and we live according to agape. You see, this walk in dealing with the old man, it's not a mind trip. You'll never do it with, thinking. It passes knowledge, it says, and it's filled with all the fullness of God. So live agape, pass knowledge. The second one is to remove the earth from your life. At first, you probably don't understand what that means. It means to wipe out earthly ways. Stop living in them. Stop attaching yourself to the earth. This earth is going to disappear, guys. Start it now, okay? Wipe out earthly ways. Stop living in them. And I'll tell you something. Earth isn't allowed in heaven. Well, we're to walk in newness of life. We're to walk a new life. That's one of the ways you deal with the old man, the traitor. Walk in newness. One that I love probably more than I could even put into words, I call it seek the seat. Seek the seat. S-E-E-K, the seat. S-E-A-T. Seek the seat. What seat? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The Bible says to seek things above. What that's talking about is to move your abode. You no longer live on this earth. Move your abode. Seek the seat. Relocate. Become a heavenly expat. Seek the seat. Seek those things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The fifth one is to change your clothing. What? Yeah, put on something new. Put on the new man. Change your clothing. I want you to look so totally different and feel so totally different. And you do that by changing your clothing. Another one is to, let's see, which one is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is to stop the war. Just stop the war. If you find yourself fighting, it's just like if you find your old man arguing with another old man. Stop. You old man, stop your arguing. Just stop it. Or an old woman arguing with an old man. Stop it. If you're arguing with an old man, it's because the old man is arguing. You're letting him rule. If you're an old woman and you're letting you're arguing with another old woman, you're letting them rule. Stop. You got to personify this stuff and take it to heart. So stop the war. Don't war against the flesh. The moment you sense a warring faction, that radar better go off and say, stop. This is nothing more than my old man fighting against an old man, another old man. So stop. And every one of us have them, okay? This becomes probably the most fun one of all. And I've learned so much from it. Like if there's somebody in my life where I have arguments with, or maybe we don't get along very well sometimes, it's because of the old man. The old man comes up in him, the old man comes up in me, and boy, they go at it. Well, you can stop that by recognizing it's the old man that's doing it and say, I'm not going to talk to your old man. I hate your old man. Just leave him away from me. But you don't even have to say that. You just shut up. You don't fight. No worrying. And then we're to serve the law of God. That's right. We're told to serve the law of God, not the law of the flesh, the law of sin. We are not to serve that at all. And if you ever come to one day and realizing that you are down on the ground, prostrate, serving Satan and sin, you better jump to your feet and tell him to get out of your life. Tell him to leave and never come back. That's what you do, because you never let the old man reign. And the last one is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what you do. You take the time to learn God's word and let God's word come in day after day after day. And you also reference things from God's word. For instance, the old man. Now you know who the old man is. You know every one of his tricks. You know every one of his trade secrets. You know what he tries to do with you. And you know how he absolutely hates you. There is nothing good in him at all. So do me a favor. Don't give him any more place. Don't walk back into whatever it was that you... I try to stop this, but it does it anyway, according to Romans 7. Well, you can stop that now. When dealing with treason, there is no fleshly war. There is a steady flow of casting down worldly thoughts and imaginations. There is obedience in bringing those things mentally captive. There is a readiness at a moment's notice to revenge all disobedience caused by the old man, the traitor, the weeds in the field, the dirty deeded entity that sticks his head and nose in where it doesn't belong, and our choices. So make the right choices. Recognize this old man and start living new.